Welcome to the Gifted to Give podcast. I am Brother Gian. If you're new to podcasting, you're in the right place. I can't wait to share to all of you how wonderful God is as we celebrate the 500 years of Christianity in the Philippines. Good day, listeners. We have once again Monsignor Achilles Dakay as he will preach and teach to us the good news of the gospel for this Sunday,
September 24, 2023.
We have a great number of listeners, downloads, and interactions. We at Gifted to Give Podcast would like to thank everyone for their support.
We are blessed to have our sponsor for our podcast, Podmetrics. Thank you so much, Podmetrics, for the support, and I urge everyone to support them as well.
And now, without further ado, please join us in welcoming Monsignor Achilles Dakay.
Good morning to all of you on this sunny Friday of September 22. Yesterday, September 21, remember, was the feast of Saint Matthew, whose Gospels we have been reading and reflecting on this year, Cycle A. Tomorrow, Saturday, will be the feast of Padre Pio, San Padre Pio. And then on Sunday, we celebrate the 25th in ordinary time. Now, as I have been telling you from the very beginning, our Bible study online, we try to read and reflect on the three assigned Gospels for a Sunday, Cycle A, B, or C, and we try to apply a point of convergence, meaning a point other than the usual and the traditional, a point of convergence where the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, somehow agree on and drive home and highlight. That is my attempt, other than the usual and the traditional. That's why here, every Friday at 10 o'clock, we sit down to study the three Gospels, but we try to drive home a point other than the usual and the traditional. I mean, when you go to church on Sunday, I expect you to hear the usual and traditional sermons on this year, Cycle A, according to Matthew. That I presume. But precisely, we are here to study more than that or other than that. That's why I try to present a new method of studying the Bible. Of course, reading first the Gospel assigned for this year, Matthew 20:1-16, but always referring to Mark and to Luke, which are also Gospels assigned for this Sunday for Cycle B and Cycle C. So I hope you understand that. Yes, the Gospel for this Sunday, Cycle A, is according to Matthew. Yes, that's true. And we shall try to point out some lessons other than the usual and the traditional. We will see that today we study the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, only on one point. we will study the three Gospels from the angle of work, under the aspect of work that saves, sanctifying work, because we shall try to see how we can learn from Matthew, whose feast we celebrated yesterday. But before anything else, let us pray. Almighty Father, send your Holy Spirit upon us that we may read your word with faith, reflect on it with love, with hope, and follow it and realize it with love, so that we follow your only begotten Son, from whom we learn and find peace, future freedom, and the future with you forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now let us read ourselves the Gospel for this Sunday, Matthew 20, 1 to 16. Please.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon and around 3 o'clock and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us," and said to them, "You too go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous?" Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last.
Thank you very much. This parable only Matthew has written. As I have been saying, through the years, this parable has been studied from different angles and under different aspects. For example, usually or traditionally, the sermon is focused on how generous the landowner is to give each worker who were hired at different hours of the day, from 6 to 6, the same daily wage. We say, yes, he is so generous. But let us look at another point. Why the landowner gives the same daily wage to the first and to the last? Why are they all equally paid? This is the point. Because the landowner was looking at the dignity of labor, which lies on the humanity of the laborer. I repeat, the dignity of work lies in the humanity of the worker. That's why, since every human being who works has the basic need to feed himself and his family, that's why even the last one received what was actually needed. That's what the landowner was trying to emphasize, that when whoever works or at whatever time, the same amount of the daily wage is given, because that is what basically he needs. Yesterday, Matthew, the apostle and evangelist, we read, as written by Matthew himself, that he was at work in his office as tax collector. But his work as tax collector was despicable, was hated by the fellow Jews, because Matthew, a Jew, was a person who volunteered to work for or with the pagan Roman government. That's why he was branded a traitor, an outcast, a sinner. But Jesus, precisely, as he walked along, he saw Matthew working, and he precisely wanted to save Matthew from his rather unrighteous work when he said to him, "Follow me." Jesus, therefore, is saving Matthew, the sinner, from his sinful work. That is what I try to emphasize here, that the sinner is saved from his sinful work. Remember, this Sunday, the whole Catholic Philippines will celebrate the Seafarers' Day and the Migrant Sunday. Who are they? The seafarers are, of course, not only the fishermen, not only the sailors, but the travelers in the open seas, seafarers. Who are the migrants? Our brother Filipinos who choose to work and live in other countries. We know that their works are physically difficult and also spiritually dangerous. We know that. So how can we help? How can the seafarers, the migrants, be helped so that remaining in their works, they may be sanctified? How can work be sanctified? Sanctifying means a work that sets them apart, a work that makes them different, a work that precisely makes them holy, not only happy, not only healthy, but holy. That is what we try now to emphasize. The worker more than the work. In this gospel, according to Matthew, precisely the landowner, of course he is generous with his own money, was looking at the worker more than at the work, more than the humanity of the worker, than the dignity of the work. That's why he gives the same amount from to the first and to the last, because these first workers and the last workers are all human beings who feel the same basic need to feed themselves and their families. That's why ideally, the so-called minimum wage should be enough for the worker to feed himself and his family. That is the ideal daily wage. We are not saying that as of now, companies are not subscribing to this principle, but that is the idea, the family wage, so that the worker is sanctified by precisely being paid enough to feed himself and his family. Therefore, sanctifying work. How does work sanctify the worker? Take the gospel according to Mark, the cycle B gospel. Jesus says, if any one of you, my disciples, if anyone wants to be first, he must first be the last and the servant of all. How can service for all be sanctifying? This is the question. Servant of all, meaning to serve without favoritism, to serve without discrimination, and to serve without expecting a return or counting the cost. That is the service, the work for all that can sanctify the worker. I repeat, a sanctifying work is service to all, without favoritism, without discrimination as to race or religion, and to serve without expecting a return. Of course, there will be returns, but do not expect them. To serve without counting the cost. Of course, there will be costs, but do not count them. That way, your work, whatever it is, can sanctify you, the worker. In the Gospel for Cycle C, according to St. Luke, we read about Jesus using another parable precisely to stress this point of sanctifying work. In this parable, a servant is promoted to be a steward. A steward is precisely a master's choice of a servant to whom he entrusts his property to supervise. What therefore, or how therefore, a steward in his work as supervisor, how can he be sanctified? First of all, he is privileged and therefore responsible and therefore accountable. Those three traits. A steward, therefore, if he has a work more than the other servants to supervise, is sanctified, made holy, if he is honest and trustworthy, even in small things. So the virtue of honesty and trustworthiness, but remember, trust is built only on truth. So a steward is truthful, is trustworthy, is honest with his work. This is something we now realize that, yes, when we are privileged to do something more than what the other servants are doing, as stewards, as managers, as supervisors, we are expected to feel privileged indeed. And we know that with every privilege goes responsibility. And responsibility means you are accountable. That you should have in mind. And in the meantime, be honest, be truthful, be trustworthy, even in small matters. So now we know from the three synoptic gospels how we can be sanctified as workers performing our humble work, whatever it is. I repeat, the worker is the first and foremost in your consideration, not the work nor the pay. What therefore should we stress and bear in mind that the work we do, whatever it is, as long as if we are the stewards, we are truthful and trustworthy, and therefore we are sanctified, we are made holy, we are made different, we are made better than others. This is what we are trying to emphasize, that our work, however humble it is, as long as it is done honestly, can sanctify us and make us better. So remember the saying that our church is made up not of people who believe that they are better than the rest. No. Our church is made up of people who wish humbly and work honestly so that they become better than they are. I repeat that. The church is made up not of people who believe that they are better than the rest, but rather of people who wish humbly and work honestly to become better than they are. So our work, I repeat, whatever it is, be a seafarer, be a migrant, be a field worker, be a sailor, etc., our work can sanctify us workers as long as we observe what Jesus has taught with his parables. So I repeat, yes, the gospel for this Sunday is Matthew 21-16. And it is a long parable. And there are several points to ponder upon. Usually and traditionally, the point that preachers try to emphasize is how generous God is, who gives us the work from the beginning of time till the end of time. Yes, that is true. That is the usual traditional. But I am trying to point out a point, to highlight a point that can be relevant to our society today, about fair wage. What should be the minimum fair wage? As I have suggested, ideally it should be the family wage. If you are serving anywhere, be servant of all. Favor no one. Discriminate against nobody. Then serve without expecting a return and without counting the cost. And lastly, if you are privileged to be appointed a steward, a manager, a supervisor, then you have the added responsibility. You are accountable. So be truthful, be trustworthy, and be honest. So here we have the virtues necessary for us workers to become holy, not only happy and healthy, holy, set apart from others, different from others. This is what we need. Yes, this may sound economic, but actually it is a religious principle. So this principle is good to live up to, not only in the arena of politics or in the area of economics, but also on the altar of religion. I pause here for some of your questions and reflections.
And now, words from our sponsor. If you're a current podcaster or plan to create your own podcast soon, I want to share with you the tool that I use to help me monetize my podcast. It's called Podmetrics. Podmetrics is a platform that allows you to have full control of how you monetize your podcast. You can collab with brands and choose between the many merchants that fit your podcast's audience. It also gives you tips and samples on how to execute your ads properly to maximize your earning potential. Plus, you can track how many of your listeners you were able to convert and know how much you've earned in real time. Cashing out is also a breeze. So if you're a podcaster, make sure you sign up by clicking the link in the description box of this episode and use the referral code 500YOCCebu so you can monetize your podcast too. Thank you, Podmetrics. And now, back to our podcast.
So remember, we are sanctifying ourselves. We are making ourselves holy, not only when we are on our knees, kneeling in church at prayer. No, we also sanctify ourselves when we wash with our hands, whatever there is, when we work honestly. As long as our honest work leads us to humble worship, our work from Monday to Saturday should lead us to our worship on Sunday.
Good morning, Mons.
Good morning.
Thank you for highlighting that we must be good stewards to what God has given us. Could be in the form of taking care of our body, our mind, our surroundings, our family. It is what we are tasked to do. Hello, Mons. Thank you for reminding us about small and honest actions. These days in television and books, they prioritize on grand and big heroic actions. It is comforting that as normal people, we can do what we usually do, but make it honest so we can do humble worship.
Thank you for that reflection. But remember too that throughout the year we are celebrating days that we be reminded of those who are deprived of work or deprived of the just wage, etc. There is a day for the handicapped, the PWD who cannot work as well as the healthy ones. The day for the AIDS victims who are sick. There is a day for the those in extreme poverty and those in prison, etc. Let us also think of them who cannot work as well as we do, who are deprived of precisely wages that may keep them alive. So at least think next Sunday of the seafarers, those brother Filipinos who work for a living on the open seas as fishermen, as sailors, and as travelers on the sea. And about migrants, our OFW, our Filipinos who migrate to other countries to work and live there. We have to remind them that yes, your works must sanctify you, the workers.
Thank you for reminding us of the handicapped and those in extreme poverty. I will continually pray for them because it is not easy to not be able to work.
So remember, our work is either at home or out in the field, in the office, etc. So whatever we do, wherever we may do it, let us always bear in mind that we are expected to be sanctified by what we do, of course, with the help of God's mercy. Do not therefore think that those who are saints or holy people are those who are churchgoers, always praying. Of course, Padre Pio says, I only want to be a poor friar who prays. That's true. But Padre Pio was also working for our salvation as spiritual advisor to many souls. Work should be sanctifying. And therefore, we must develop those virtues that are needed to keep us alive in our faith. If a family migrates to another country where they cannot even carry rosary beads, where they cannot even pray, where they cannot even go to mass, is that not dangerous to their souls? Will you only consider the work and the pay, but not yourselves as workers who are not at all sanctified?
I used to not like this parable because I always feel like I'm the first workers. But as I got older, I asked myself, what if I'm the last worker? Thank God that he is merciful and generous.
That's true. To be deprived of work is not good. To be deprived of the usual wage is not good. To be without work, unemployed, is not good. So what is good is that we be employed as much as we can. We be given work and be given the usual pay.
Mons, how can I sanctify my works when I am already long retired?
When I am?
Already long retired.
What do you mean? Wherever you work, be you a sailor, be you a farmer, wherever. Planting rice is never fun, that's true. But it can be sanctifying if you do it honestly, etc. Precisely, Matthew was saved by Jesus from his rather unrighteous work as tax collector. Like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector, also a public sinner. But what did Jesus do? He saved him from that war, and he said, salvation has come to this house. In other words, he was saved from his work, and now he is working for Jesus.
Thank you, Monsignor, for enlightening us on this topic. We hope and pray more people can listen and understand regarding this topic, so that more can also become good stewards for their laborers, especially our government, to be truthful stewards, hence to be sanctified stewards. Thank you, Monsignor.
Especially working at home. Mother working at home at the kitchen should be privileged to feel that he or she can be sanctified by her work. A metro aide, they say, a worker as metro aide can be as dignified as an employee of Metro Bank.
Good evening, Mons. I have an office mate who always complain about work. Unsaon pag-remind niya, Mons, Mons, na having work is a gift.
Yeah. Precisely, you are advised to begin work and end it with, in the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit. Work as a baptized person, as saved by the cross of Christ, and baptized in the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit. I advise you, do that every time you begin to work, whether as laundry woman or an office master or wherever. Try to be reminded that your salvation through the passion of Christ on the cross and our baptism are precisely reminders that we need to be working and be sanctified in the process.
Bitaw, Mons, there are times are so tired of working. It is so stressful then I switch my thinking and thank God instead. I have unable to work.
In other words, if now you are working in a place that may lead you to sin, then save yourself by taking yourself out of that work, because it will not sanctify you.
Mons, I am living alone, so I do both housework and office work. Kapoy nakaayop ko, Mons. It is hard to remain humble and love work when kapoy nakaayop ko in doing both types of work. Pero, I pray more for the grace of humility.
Astro. Housekeeping or housewifing cannot be paid with money. It's so valuable. But remember, whatever that is, it will sanctify you if you are just truthful and trustworthy and honest at work in the kitchen. Rearing up children is a work at home. That work should be sanctifying, salvific, making us holy. But I repeat, after work at home or in the office, on Sundays we go to church to worship and thank the Lord for the work we are given at home. Work and worship.
I like what you said, that if I want to live abroad, I should consider if I can practice my faith there. Going to Mass, doing the rosary, and having a Catholic community is much more important. I will take this into account, Mons, as I prepare to live abroad.
Do you think that OFWs, our overseas Filipino workers, are doing good for themselves religiously? I don't think so. Many families have been broken. Many sons have been drug addicts because left alone by parents working abroad. Of course, there is much money there. They earn dollars, but they lose morals. That is the sad thing about OFWs. How many families have been broken? How many sons have gone astray because left alone by themselves? Yes, there is money sent, dollars, yes. But in the meantime, their morals are gone. Today, September 22, Piesta sa Pardo, ang ilang patron saint, Santo Tomas de Villanueva. So all roads lead to Pardo. So let us now pray for a blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So see you again.
Wow, that was an amazing talk given by Monsignor Achilles Dakai. We are so grateful for the Lord for sending Monsignor Dakai to share God's word to all of us. We would like to thank again Monsignor Achilles Dakai, and also to our heartfelt gratitude goes to all of you who joined, interacted, and asked a question for Monsignor Dakai. Hear more from Monsignor Dakai again next weekend. This is once again the Gifted to Give podcast for your ears only. I am Brother Gian signing off. Have a blessed Sunday to all, and to God be the glory.
You have just listened to the Gifted to Give podcast with your host, Brother Gian, Brother John, and Father Jojo. Catch our next episode. This episode of the Gifted to Give podcast was brought to you by our sponsors. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to our Facebook page at 500 Years of Christianity, Archdiocese of Cebu. If you love the Gifted to Give podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review everywhere you listen to your podcast. Till next time.